From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of PDGA Radio. I'm Steve Hill, and I'm joined by top five finisher at the Music City Open, Sarah Lamberson. I think I get some extra points picks this week, Sarah, because I believed in you.
I'll give you four for the place that I got.
Can I have 40 of them, please? Because that's how.
No.
Much I need. Ugh. Anyway, congratulations. We're gonna talk a little bit more on Music City later today, but we've got some other things to get to. I hope everyone enjoyed their a nice, happy National Disc Golf Day, Sarah. Did you do okay on National Disc Golf Day, or was that a rough day for you?
That was Saturday, right? Yeah, that was my rough day. That was my rough day. It was a very fun round, though.
But hey, that's good.
My playing was a little rough. Yeah.
All right. Just as long as you had fun, that's a good thing.
Of course. Always.
Good deal. We're also going to take some time today to look ahead to this weekend's Ledgestone Open, big event on the Disc Golf Pro Tour. We'll talk a little bit about the United States Junior Disc Golf Championship, more junior stuff. And before we get too far into things, we will talk about who was elected to the board of directors. A couple of quick announcements. We're currently looking, the PDGA that is currently looking for a couple of companies who can handle like membership fulfillment and e-commerce services. We've got RFPs up on the website right now over in the announcement section. So if you happen to be listening and you have any contacts in those industries or you yourself are in those industries, please head over to PDGA.com in the announcement section and check it out. And we have our Disc Golf Interest Survey still going strong until the end of the month. We've already got, I think, close to 10,000 respondents if we haven't passed 10,000. So if you've taken the survey, if you've taken the survey, thank you for taking your time. I know it's not the shortest thing on the planet. We've gotten a lot of feedback. We've heard people have been filling it out. If you haven't and have a few minutes, please go ahead and do that. So that'll help us out a lot. Sarah, did you get a chance to see who was elected to the board of directors?
I did. We had Mike Sullivan.
Right. He was the lone new candidate, if you will.
The attorney. Robert Decker. And our current president, right?
Yep. Justin Menichelli. So congratulations to all three of those gentlemen for earning their spots on the board. I wasn't terribly surprised, Justin and Bob being like the incumbents. I was really impressed when I spoke with Mike Sullivan for our interview segment a few weeks back. So I think that's a well-deserved one. I'm happy with the choice that the membership made in terms of bringing him aboard. So good stuff there. I'm excited to see what he brings to the table. I think having that sort of set of skills, plus obviously it's not like he's just going to become like the token lawyer in every PDGA issue or anything, but it helps to have that kind of a set of eyeballs on it. But I just also really thought that you could tell when talking to him that he's thought a lot about the organization and what he can help do and how disc golf functions, and he's been a member of his area club for a long time. So Mike, from myself and Sarah, on behalf of everyone at the PDGA, welcome aboard. Should be good stuff. So Sarah, how was the Music City Open? Let's talk about that for a minute. You were out there in the old city of music, Nashville, and that's kind of presumptuous. There's a lot of cities that could call themselves that. Like how did Nashville beat New Orleans?
I don't know how they got the name.
But the
interesting thing is, the interesting thing is, so I do not like country music. Sorry for all you country music fans out there. I hope you don't stop listening to the show.
Well, country music is taking a like total left turn now.
Okay. I don't like pop country.
Right. Yeah.
I like bluegrass. I like some of the old stuff. Kenny Rogers, I like back from when I was a kid, but what I was going to say is that people assume that because it's Nashville, that it's all country music all the time. And really there's a lot of different kind of genres that make their way to Nashville. So, Sean and I really like EDM music. I really like jam bands and
You're such
a
a
lot
disc
of,
golfer.
I know, a lot of different things, and there's a lot of different bands that come through Nashville. So my neighbors are in a really cool band. They're called the Daytona Machines. They're actually playing a show at a pretty big venue this weekend, and they're like Nirvana, like grunge kind of band, but with a more pop sound. But they're really good, so you should check
Interesting.
them out. You should check them out. They've been playing a lot of shows, but there's a lot of up and coming like garage bands and a lot of interesting stuff coming out of the music scene as well. So
Yeah, a
not
lot of
just
bands will
country.
like a lot of yeah, a lot of non-country bands will go to
Yeah.
Nashville and post up in studios and record and everything too. So, anyway, I this has turned into the PDGA literally radio podcast, but
Yes.
yeah, how was the Music City Open?
It was
You fared
awesome.
pretty well. I know we talked a little bit. You said you felt you left a little bit out there, but let's give us your impressions on the whole. What were the big things going down out at the Music City Open?
Yeah, well, it's not all the time that I've got, world champs like Elaine King and touring pros like Madison Walker and Kona and Rebecca Cox, and then of course all the big names on the MPO side. It's not every day that they're coming through Nashville and playing some of our local events. This is our biggest event of the year. It's an A tier, and I think there were nearly 350 people that played.
Wow.
So lots of different people in the amateur side of the field, lots of age protected people. But I had some friends, some of my Throw Pink team members come and stay with me. I had four different people stay with me. And so that's just a good time, like just seeing all the people that I don't normally get to see in Nashville and not having to leave my house or pay for a hotel, which is super expensive if you try to come to Nashville at this point. So that's always great. And there's some side action. The Fly Mart was really fun. It was at Little Harpeth Brewing, and there was a divisional putting contest, and of course food trucks and beer and lots of different disc vendors. And we brought our dogs out there, so it's just awesome because we've talked about this before. Just on a side note, but tee times make things a little bit interesting in that you may be playing an event with somebody but never ever see them. I mean, A, they may be in a different pool than you and on completely different courses, but if even if they're in the same pool with you, I may tee at 11 a.m. and they may tee at 2, and I never cross paths with that person at all.
Right.
Yeah, so having the Fly Mart or the Fly Party, whatever it is, makes it a nice little time for everyone to get together and see each other between rounds. So that was very enjoyable.
Very cool. Is this the type of event where, like, what's the vibe like in terms of, is this the kind of place where you could potentially see the tournament directors like trying to get this one on like the national tour or disc golf pro tour type level at some point, or is that not really the goal? Like, are they happy with being an A tier and just continuing to grow at that level?
So this just became an A tier. I think last year or the year before was the first time it was an A tier. So they're still learning. They did a really great job. They had lots of great volunteers. And Sean and I actually worked with the TD a little bit, just giving some expertise and pointers because Sean obviously works for the PDGA and has a lot of experience in that. I will say that some of the courses, the MPO side can just slay them. Like, as a local course, they're very difficult, but I'm not sure that they would be up to an NT caliber course,
Gotcha.
with the exception of Ravenwood. And that was our finishing course for the A pool. And that is a defunct golf course. It's actually 10 minutes from us. And Sean and I will go out there and take the dogs and run or walk. And it's a really cool piece of property. There's houses all along it, and some of the neighbors will mow big portions of it so they can use it. But
Oh, so
I
it's like
get.
defunct in terms of like it's not just a golf course and now they've put baskets on it. Like is it just like a city park now?
Yeah, so
Oh, okay.
there's a greenway that actually runs from out of town, sort of where we live, all the way into downtown Nashville, where the Nissan Stadium is.
Right.
And I think it's like 11 or 15 miles. I don't know how I got that range. 11 to 15 miles.
It's very specific.
Yeah. From one end to the other end. And then the Greenway actually goes through this property, and you can take a couple different tangents and go along the car pass. But yeah, it's none, you can't tell that it's a golf course except for some of the raised tee areas. Like, there's no greens, there's no sand pits.
Oh, okay.
Nothing like that. Like, there's no structure there at all. There's some leftover tee signs, things like that. So it's just a giant piece of property. I guess overall that entire park is like 1500 acres.
Wow.
So Sean has a couple of giant MPO challenging courses designed out there that that's just, you know, on his wish list, that if he could somehow, it's kind of just a parks department kind of issue at this point.
Of course,
every kind of recreational group in Nashville wants a piece of it, and we just have to keep talking to them and sell them on disc golf. All the neighbors love it. There were some out there that actually had a cooler of Gatorade for the players, and we're just like chilling under the big umbrella, just watching players go by. It was super cool. But anyway, long answer short, if that course could be put into play and potentially a permanent course, I think we could get an NT out here. So,
Interesting. Very nice.
Yeah.
How about the how about the actual, you know, besides the atmosphere and the tournament, what about the play itself? It sounds like the men's side was pretty exciting. Then obviously we'll hear about your experience as well on the FPO side.
Yeah. So the men were in our pool, but I didn't get to see them because when I was coming off the course, they were pretty much starting. But it was very close. The first round, James Conrad. So that we played three courses. The first course was Cedar Hill, which is about 15 minutes from us. It's what I would call my home course, and it's pretty wooded, but very fair fairways, mostly large fairways, pretty good elevation change. But the course just requires lots of different types of shots, right off of the tee. So it's challenging in that way. And it was a par 58, and actually James Conrad shot a 51, or it was a par 59. And I was actually surprised that nobody shot better than that. But it's, I don't know, it's just, it requires so many different types of shots. I'm sure he threw his putter or rock on a lot of them. But it's not very, the course isn't very long. It's just, you just got to have a lot of shots in your back pocket. So he shot the hot round there with a 51, 1050 rated. And then, Cameron Colglazer actually shot the hot round on the next course, which is Cane Ridge Park.
Okay.
And that's a little, that course was put in about two and a half years ago. It's a little more on the rough side, tighter fairways, but lots more birdie opportunities. There's several holes that it's just kind of like a straight shoot, with low ceiling. And it's kind of just a control shot with a putter or a mid range. But yeah, lots more birdie opportunities out there. And he shot a 46 out there on a par 58. So that was pretty dang good.
Pretty solid.
Pretty solid, yeah. And then, like I said, the last course we finished up on Ravenwood, and that's just a huge bomber golf course. It's almost 10,000 feet. There were three holes that were – there was one hole that was over 1,000 feet. And then now I can't remember, three others that were over 900 feet, par fives, and just, you know, lots of OB with the cart pass and the road coming through. And, you know, the course had not been mowed for a long time, so it was just very, very rough, thorny OB areas. So places that you did not want to go in. And I left because I was so dehydrated. That was another point I was going to make. If you've ever been to Nashville.
I thought we talked about this.
I know.
Thought you were going to work on your hydration.
I am. I am totally working on it. But it was so hot. You're in the sun. There's no shade. I'm so happy. My friend Trey actually caddied for me the last round, just pulling my cart, because the elevation change on that course was pretty extreme on the back nine. And by the time I finished, I stuck around for a little bit, and there was actually a lightning delay, and my card we literally ran the last hole because we didn't want to get our round called,
right?
Before, you know, before we made our putts or whatever. And then luckily the lead card of women finished as well. So there's a lightning delay. It was raining for quite a while.
Jeez.
We all sat around. Yeah. And then they started back up again. I was like, peace. I'm tired and wet and I have a headache and I haven't eaten since 10 o'clock in the morning. So I went home, but kind of continued to monitor it on Facebook. And Chris Dickerson and James Conrad, after all those holes and 10,000 feet of long, grueling golf, they went to a playoff. And by this time, it's like 6:30, 6:45 at night. It's starting to get a little bit
wow.
dark. And they went six holes.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I know. And the TD was texting Sean and I, and he was like, what do I do if it gets totally dark and they can't see anything? It's like, well, then it's just a draw and they have to tie. But
oh, no.
luckily someone won. That was Chris Dickerson, and he won on the sixth hole. It was an 850-foot par four. It's kind of
wow.
like a dog leg left, lots of OB, and then the basket is up on a former golf teeing area. So pretty cool.
Very nice.
Pretty cool way to win. Yeah.
Awesome. Sounds exciting. And I know Central Coast was out there filming, right?
Yeah. I think they definitely filmed the second round. I think they filmed the third round as well.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. So the footage for the second round is already out. I got a chance to watch it yesterday. So it was pretty cool. And yeah, Dickerson's actually won this event before. He won by 9 strokes last year.
Wow.
And then in 2014, he took second. So we didn't play Ravenwood last year. There's a couple different courses in play, but he's very comfortable playing in the Nashville area. Clearly.
Nice. And on the women's side, it was, who ended up winning? Oh,
Madison did.
There was a comeback. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So we started out the first round.
Now, did I see that they went and put three women
yes.
cards? So you were on, technically you were on second card.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Oh,
so so there's 9 of us. Yeah. 9 of us. And
oh, that makes
the first
sense.
Round, the first round they did five on the first card and 4 on the other card. And Madison shot the hot round at Cedar Hill by 1 stroke, shot a 948, which is really good. And we were all pretty close. Like, a few of us were pretty close. The scores ranged from 63 to 69 and dropped off a little bit. And then they broke it 3-3-3. And I was on the lead card the second day when we played Cane Ridge. And that was just a roller coaster round. Like, if you had told me that I shot in the 70s, I would have believed you. I ended up shooting 63. But, like, I took Elaine and I both went 5-5-5. The first hole is kind of it's like a par 3 island hole over the road. And we were both just trying to lay up and then put it on the island. And we both laid up into the woods and then had to pitch out and then ended up missing our putts. And so we went 5-5-5, which was not very good. And
yeah.
Madison took some strokes on us right away. But Elaine cleaned it up quite a bit. So did I. I took several birdies. And, she ended up shooting the hot round of 60.
Okay.
So at that point, she was in the lead by a couple strokes over Madison. And then, Rebecca Cox shot the hot round from the chase card. She shot
okay.
a 59.
Okay.
So she jumped me and ended up being on the lead card threesome round 3. Which I wasn't that upset about because there was a camera crew from Chattanooga. Ben Howard and Donovan Barnett were filming the lead card of FPO all weekend, which is
oh really you cool. gotta get that camera time.
Yeah, so I got it second round, which is cool, even though it was my worst round, but I'll actually be doing commentary on all 3 rounds.
Oh, nice.
Weeks, yeah, so that'll be fun. But I don't know, I don't think the cameras affect me that much, but who knows, I might have felt a little bit of extra pressure, and so I'm kind of glad the cameras weren't on me third round. And I shot what I thought was really good until I saw Madison's score, and she got me by 7 strokes.
Whoa.
The last round. Yeah. She ended up birdieing, so taking a 2 on hole one, which was 515 foot downhill, she had a throw in.
Oh, nice. That's a and good then, way to start your round.
Yeah. And then hole two, she parked a 380 foot uphill shot. And I talked to her. She was like, yeah, I have no idea how that happened. I was like, how did you even? Because I was making it like halfway up the hill. And she was like, I have no clue. I just threw my backhand and it was next to the basket all of a sudden. I was like, wow. So she had a stellar round and came back and ended up winning by two over Elaine. And yeah, Rebecca had a really good round. Well, we tied the last round. And so she ended up getting me by two. But yeah, I'm pretty proud of myself. It's funny because my last round felt the best. I only had one bad hole where I went out of bounds twice and then just was shooting super solid the rest of the time, but that was my lowest rated round. So it's strange how the ratings work. Like you have no idea what it's going to be at any given time.
Well, it sounds like it was, minus the weather, it sounds like it was a good event on the whole. So
yeah, it was awesome.
Very cool. Thank you for the breakdown. I think what we will do then, and again, keep your eye out for MPO coverage on Central Coast. And what's the name of the channel, do you know, for the women's coverage?
I believe it's called Howard Disc Golf.
Howard Disc Golf. Okay, yeah. Cool. So keep an eye out for that. And you can see some Music City Open with some Sarah Lamerson commentary yourself coming soon. So that's cool. Yeah. Sarah, let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we will do the hot rounds because there are some other events from the weekend, not just Music City Open. No offense to Music City. It wasn't the only thing going on. So we'll come right back with hot rounds and then we're going to talk Ledgestone. So we'll be back here in just a moment on PDJ Radio.
So Nashville was hot as Hades this weekend, but we also had some hot rounds in other parts of the country and internationally.
Look at you getting on the Segway train. That was good.
Hey-o.
That was a good one. Yeah, hot rounds. Yeah. Do you want to do it? Let's do the women's side first.
Okay. So my good friend Liz Carr, CPN, I know I said her last name wrong. I'm sorry. She shot the hottest round of the weekend at the Ladies Battle. Is it Brats or Brats? I wonder.
I mean,
in the Midwest.
I don't know. I feel. Oh, that's a good question. I read it as Brats.
Okay.
Like, I feel like the ladies are going to take down the Brats, but maybe they're also. Maybe they're eating brats.
Yeah.
What if they're eating brats while they take down the Brats?
That's possible.
Boom. That's very. Where in the Midwest was this? Was it in Milwaukee?
I'm not sure where it was. I'd have to look it up. Anyway. She shot a 984 rated round, her second round.
That's very good.
And it is very good. And she just had a baby. Congratulations. He is adorable. I think he's like 6 weeks old.
Okay.
8 weeks old?
That was in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Ann Arbor. Okay. Yeah. And she finished first. Awesome job, Liz. Our second hottest round was at the Prodigy Disc Pro Tour Turku, and Henna Blomrus shot a 968 her first round and finished first. The third hottest was Swedish Championships. Sophie, oh my gosh.
I'd say Bjorlik.
Bjorlik. Okay, that sounds good. She shot a 964 her third round and she also finished first. The fourth hottest round was at the Music City Open, sponsored by Dynamic Discs. That was Madison Walker. She shot her third round, a 963, to finish first place. And then we had a tie for the fifth hottest round.
Now, this one's in Germany, so I think you need to take that into consideration when you're doing the pronunciations here.
All right. SummerSlam Volume 5. Webke Jean?
I was going to say, don't W's a lot of times in
V.
Germany,
yeah.
Pronounce V. I would Vivke Jan.
Vivke Jan. Ah, yeah. She shot a 960 her first round and finished first. And the last was also 960 at the 2018 Professional Pittsburgh Flying Disc Open. And that was Paige Bjorkis. And she also finished first. That was her first round. And she also, on top of that, her final nine was rated 969.
So yeah, that could have gone in a little. That would have actually been the second highest rated if we had pulled. I don't think final nines get pulled for our hot rounds because they're not the full thing. I'm not exactly sure, but
well, they don't count toward your rating also.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
But good job. Very, very hot.
I do want to say this. If you are a person who's listening to the show and gets on the hot rounds and we obliterate your name, please yell at us. We are more than happy to correct it the next week.
It's mostly me. I know.
We don't mean any offense or anything. So please, we are trying to do our best.
We both have very simple names to pronounce.
Yeah, right. It's not like we don't see difficult names, though. We need to be a little more well-versed. Yeah. On the men's side, we had over at the Lake Superior Open. This is up in, I believe, Michigan. Kale Laviska with a 1077 rated second round was the hottest round of the weekend. Now, he was in the lead, but the third round as of this recording is not up yet. So I'm just going to assume that Kale won.
Good assumption.
He probably did. He's pretty good. Yeah. He wins a lot. Over at that same Prodigy Disc Pro Tour in Turku, we had Vaino Mäkelä. I know I'm not pronouncing his name right. I apologize, but he shot a 1075 rated second round. I didn't go parse it out, and it's probably something we need to do a bit more research for. Someone was positing on Reddit, I think, that might be like the highest rated European round ever.
Cool.
I don't know if that's true. So something to look into. Either way, he won that one. He's one of those, another young up-and-comer out of Finland, I believe. Out at the Music City Open, Cameron Kohlglaser, his second round, like you mentioned, Sarah, I think you said he was 12 down or so. That was 1068 rated. He ended up in third place. Then we had the Lost Egg, 2018 Lost Egg in Alberta, Canada. I don't know how the egg got lost, but Casey,
I would like to find that egg.
I know, right? Casey Hanemeyer shot a 1066 rated opening round to win that one, and the fifth hottest rated round of the weekend was Chris Dickerson's second rated round at Music City, on the way to his first place finish. So good stuff, hot rounds, a lot of spread of events going on, and like quite a, and I mean, we didn't even get to like the Titan Open, which was going on in Iowa. There were quite a few people there. I think Nico Castro ended up winning that one.
Yeah, he did. There was another big one in Indianapolis, too.
Was there? I think that was a B tier.
Okay.
But yes.
I had quite a few friends that played that event.
Yeah. I think that one was going on there. So good good weekend. I mean, it's a height of summer. Sarah, we're like, can we stop for a second and realize that we're literally like this time next month we'll be at Pro Worlds?
I'm so excited. It's, I need crazy. A vacation. It's not even a vacation.
I was going to say, you're supposed to be working at that.
Yeah. Disc golfing?
Yeah.
I know I'll be working. I'm actually going to be work because I work from home. I'll be working
before
or after.
I meant on the disc golf course.
Okay. Well, yes, I'll be doing work there as well.
Well, so will I. So it's all good.
Yeah, good.
But I'm sure there'll be some maple syrup and things to be had. I'm excited.
Yes.
I've never been to Vermont. I'm super pumped to get up
there. I haven't either. How have I never been to Vermont? I'm from Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's bad. We'll have to figure out our show schedule for that week, and maybe we can actually do one of these in person. That'd be crazy.
Oh my gosh.
I know, right? Yeah. But before that, we have a few other events to get through, Sarah. We need to talk about the Ledgestone Insurance Open, or as it's called this year, the Discraft Ledgestone Insurance Open. It is taking place this weekend. We're up to a four-rounder on the Disc Golf Pro Tour. This is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday out in Eureka, Illinois. Many people know Ledgestone for the big old water tower. Personally, when I think Ledgestone, I think OB Fest 2018. There is OB, at least on the MPO side, on almost every hole, Sarah. And basically, if you don't keep it in bounds of this event, you're done.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way I go into this one.
I think of giant payouts at this tournament.
Yeah, that's
true. I was considering going, but I cannot take 4 days off, or 2 days off of work at this point on one travel day.
Well, right, because then you got to get up there, and the women have two courses.
Yeah.
The men only have one, so I mean, you'd have to
But the deep payout, I mean, last year they paid out 16 out of 22 women. That's pretty darn good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know what the plans are this year.
Yeah.
We'll have to look.
I don't know.
I can actually look that up while we talk. There's a little website that I can probably go to and see if they have it up yet. But anyway, that is this weekend. Since it's Pro Tour, it's going to have all the usual media shenanigans going on there. Smashbox every day. Well, not on Smash. Smashbox broadcasting on the Pro Tour's YouTube channel every day. I believe the first round, at least, and some of the rounds, they're going to have like 4 post-produced cards. I don't know where they're getting all these people from.
Whoa.
To come and film things. I think
have Central, a lot of disc golf to watch this weekend.
Right. Well, Central Coast and Jomez will be next day, and then I think the other two channels, it was Ryan, Nick, and Parsave Productions, who I've seen some stuff from them recently. I think they may be... I want to say they were the ones who did the Minnesota Majestic, and if they did, it was quite good. They're supposed to be next week. It's cool. We're getting more video production teams, just not all of them are on that super fast turnaround, which, I mean, it's hard. It takes a lot of work to go out there and do the super fast turnaround. You got to grind yourself into the ground. So
yep.
New disc golf video teams, like, don't. I think it's a good thing to come out and maybe do like a week late turnaround. Just get your name out there. Like,
yeah, for sure.
We've got enough coverage on the next day stuff, but come out, film some cards, and get it out next week.
Yeah.
So anyway, as I was saying, OB Fest 2018. If we want to look back at OB Fest 2017, Sarah, last year on the men's side at this Lake Eureka temporary course they put up, there were 1,360 out of bounds strokes in MPO last year.
How is that possible?
That is 8.71 out of bounds strokes per player, which I guess if you really want to break it down, like that's only 2 and some change per round, but like it's still so much. There's OB on every hole. It makes it really, really challenging. A couple holes this year they've switched up and there's like an A layout and a B layout that they're playing. I think they're doing the A's Thursday and Sunday and then Friday and Saturday the B's. It's not a huge difference. The biggest thing I'm looking at with this one, as much as it's getting ahead of things, this is also where Pro Worlds is going to be next year. So
that's right.
There might be some tea leaves to be read here, although there is one very important player who will not be there at Ledgestone, who is obviously going to be at Pro Worlds next year, and that is Eagle McMahon, because historically he has not really enjoyed this event. So I'm interested to see if that impacts things for next year. But holy cow, we should probably talk about this year some more. On the men's side, you know, Josh Anthon ran away with this thing last year. Sarah, we were just talking before recording that you forgot that he won by like 10.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, yeah, you don't expect that, especially on the Pro Tour this year. But it can kind of happen at this course, especially late. I mean... if you've got a big lead and people are trying to go big to make up those strokes, then there's going to be a lot more OB and probably more of a spread. But I don't remember him adding to that significantly last year. Like I think he went in with a pretty big lead to the final round, but he took one. That was pretty surprising last year.
He shot a 51 his opening round, which was hot by 2 strokes. So
right.
That just set him, and then the next round he shot 7 worse than that, but he kept it in the buggy. He just stayed very consistent.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. We talked about all the OBs, okay, for Josh Anthon. First round, bogey free, no OBs.
Wow.
Second round, 2 OBs. Third round, 1. Fourth round, 1. So he averaged half the number of OBs that the average of the field was.
Yeah,
and so I think that right there is your marker of winning this thing. Paul McBeth came in 2nd. As much as we love Paul McBeth, he does love himself some OB. he'll say it himself. I mean, he even said it back at Great Lakes. He found the one hole that had OB. He's like, it wouldn't be a Paul McBeth round if there wasn't an OB. But round 1 last year, 3 OBs. Round 2, 5. Round 3, 6. Round 4. 4.
Ooh.
So 10.
So between me and Anthon.
18.
What did you just say?
McBeth had 18 total OBs last
18?
Year. So I mean, like, that's a 14 shot difference just from
and the fact the that OB he strokes. Shot. Yeah, and the fact that he took 2nd place with 18 OB
that's
strokes is
bonkers.
Phenomenal.
I know. Yeah. You know, wow. Looking at Paul Uhleberry came in 3rd. He was a little cleaner, I believe. Yeah, he had the second best OB rate at the event. So he was cleaner. So, I mean, really, success at this event, just it comes down to staying in balance. And you look at guys like Macbeth, who they have a propensity for going big, and it pays off. Macbeth, I think, owns one of the top five. I don't know what the SSA is at this course, but you know, when you look at our top rated rounds of all time, one of them is at this course. I want to say from like 2015 or 16. So I mean, he can light it up. Obviously, we know that, we see that all the time. But he also can go off the rails and get a little sloppy. Speaking of sloppy, Ricky Wysocki last year, he had 12 OBs, so that dropped him down to fourth place. That may make me reconsider my pick this week. Anyway, Sarah, basically, men's side, stay in bounds, survive. Women's side, a little bit different, two courses to learn.
Yeah.
What are you noticing when you look at kind of the caddy books and what you recall from the women's coverage last year?
So they're playing two courses. So Northwood is a par 58. Looking at the caddy book, it looked pretty wooded.
Wooded.
Yeah. And then Sunset Hills. Yeah. So most of the holes on Northwood are like under 350. And then there's a couple 600 footers, but there's a lot of birdie opportunities out there. Sunset Hills is a par 59 on a former golf course. Looked from the caddy book, there was lots of water hazards, lots of opportunities to go OB, but I think these courses suit the women a little bit more than the Eureka course would. So I think there's going to be a lot more score separation. So looking forward to seeing some of the battles that come out. But just looking at last year, so Valerie Jenkins took this one last year. She was tied with Jessica Weiss. And I don't remember. Do you remember the playoff?
No, I don't remember the playoff. I know there was rain.
Either.
It was rainy.
Yeah. Well, so they were top two. Ragna Bigdi was third. Paige came in fourth, which is interesting.
That is surprising.
Yeah, and Val and Weiss both shot 18 down, and Paige was 11 back of that. So
wow.
Yeah. Looked like Val just kept it very – I'm looking at her round from Sunset Hill. She just kept it super clean, lots of birdies and one bogey. Oh, here's the playoff. Let's see. So the playoff went four holes, and yeah, Weiss just took a bogey on hole four, and Val took it. So, yeah,
exciting. Gosh, this. I don't know. I feel like this was similar to like the last couple events. It's really hard to pick who it's going to be because you know if you get a little off during the weekend and you lose confidence in being able to keep in bounds or putt or anything, it's a tough one here. To real quick before we make our picks, to circle back to your payout, Sarah, let me look and see. I right now on the Ledgestone website they have the payout based on, you know, number of people
open
in the field. I want to see how many people are actually registered. Okay, so this may change by like one because there are the payout it's calculated for 28 players on FPO, and currently there's 26 registered.
Mm-hmm.
But they were going to be paying out 19 deep.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So that would probably be, I would imagine they'd go to 18 deep on 26 players.
Yeah.
And then on the MPO side, out of 180 players, which I believe is full, they're going to 81 players. So that's pretty excellent. 7,000 going to the winner on the men's side, and which I think, gosh, that's got to be the biggest one of the season.
Yeah, that's huge.
And then 2,300 on the FPO side. So very nice payouts, obviously. All this can be found at LIS. That's Ledgestone Insurance, LISOpen.com. And then there's all the payout information you can need there.
Yeah.
So, Sarah, I go first on picks, right?
Yep.
You're smoking me. I went and did the math, and you're up by 38 points right now.
But I'm giving you 4 points for your...
You're up by 34 points. Thank you. It's very generous of you. I'm getting smoked. No, 34, 24. Either way, math is hard, and I'm not doing well. So with that said, I have no earthly idea who I want to pick here this week. Like, I was going to pick Reiki Wasaki, and then I was like, oh, because his OB rate this season is one of the lowest. And then I went back and looked at how he did there last year with OBs, and I feel less confident in that pick.
Yeah.
I mean, but he's been playing really well lately. I'm going to look up one more thing and kind of stall for time a little bit. Oh, right. See, I can't even look at 2016 for Ricky because that was right after he won his first world championship. He had the major worlds, you know, hangover. Not literal, but figurative, you know what I mean?
So yeah,
yeah. Really take his 2016 performance in there. He came tied for 12th. So, I mean, I was looking at it and thinking, all right, you want a low OB rate, but you also want a high ceiling for scoring. I'm still going to go with Ricky. I've convinced myself because he's still the highest rated player in the world. And looking back at another course with a lot of OB, Utah Open, he slayed it with like an 1,109 rated round. So I'm going to take Ricky to win the men's side. Who you got?
I'm going to go Macbeth. I picked him for Idlewild and it served me well. So
there you go. That's a good, I got to go with the hot hand.
Yeah. And he'll learn from his 18 OB strokes. He's not going to want to do that again.
I think he won it in 2016.
Oh, 2016. Sure. Okay.
If I recall correctly.
I didn't go back that far.
Yeah, he did. He won it in 2016 and he won it by, dude, apparently everyone wins by huge margins here. He won it by 12.
Wow.
Gosh, I don't even remember that. I was probably on a world hangover then too. All right, so FPO side. See that? I mean, I gotta go with Paige. Like, I just feel like you're not playing the smart hand if you have first pick and don't take Paige Pierce. So I'm gonna go with Paige Pierce.
Well, I'm gonna go with Hokum because she's had a stellar season so far.
Yep,
she's the second highest rated. So
and the you know the wooded course coming into play there, I think is a good pick there.
Definitely
top five men. I am gonna go. Again, with my low OB rate and coming off of our hottest rated round of the weekend, I'm going to take Kale Laviska. He was top 10 there last year. I could easily see him improving to a top five. He seems like the type of guy who could navigate this kind of layout pretty well. So I'm going to go with him.
Well, I'm going to pick Chris Dickerson coming off of Music City win.
I was debating between him as well, so that's a good
one. Yeah. He took 11th here last year, and his OB rate was pretty low. He was 15th in OB, so...
Look at his final round. He was OB free. Free and definitely bogey free.
Yep. I think and OB he shot 8 down his final round, so...
Yeah, came up 10 places, I think. So I think that's a solid pick, especially coming off of his victory. And I mean, honestly, like, we talked about it last week. He's, what, third or fourth highest rated in the world now?
Something like that. Yeah, he's only 10 points behind Macbeth and Wysocki.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
that can easily be overcome. I like it. Top five on the women's side, I'm going to go with Lisa Fakus. We have not talked about Lisa Fakus enough lately. She, you know, she plays with control. She plays within herself, and I like her for this one.
She makes huge putts, too. That always helps.
That helps.
Oh, gosh. This is hard. You left me with a very tough decision.
Well, you're winning by a lot, so you've been doing okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to round it out with the fourth. You've got the three of the highest rated women in there, and I'm going to take the fourth, which is Katrina Allen. She's kind of had a roller coaster season, but we'll see. I have faith in her. I think she'll do pretty well.
I think that we are probably... I'm guessing that us not picking Jessica Weiss is going to come back to bite us.
Hopefully she's not listening.
I have feelings that that's going to happen. I mean, she came in second there last year.
I know. I was obviously going between Kat and Jessica Weiss.
Right. You know, either way. Well, it'll be fun to watch. Again, you can keep an eye on that on the Disc Golf Pro Tour's YouTube channel. Follow along with scores and stats at udisclive.com. And, you know, all the other YouTube guys that we love so much, Joe Maz, Central Coast, and a few others. So, keep an eye out for coverage. Before we go, Sarah, because we're almost done here, two things. First, this week in disc golf history, we are going to go back to 2008, because this week in 2008, Sarah, was Pro Worlds. Did you realize that?
I did not realize that.
You did not. It was in Kalamazoo.
That's right when I started playing.
There you go. Kalamazoo, Michigan. Interestingly enough, like we're always talking about big sponsors and everything. The presenting sponsor of 2008 Pro Worlds was Bell's Brewery, which
Yum.
Is one of the, you know, big breweries up there in yeah, terms of the
Ale,
craft beer scene.
One of my
yeah.
favorites.
Yep. So pretty cool. If you want a little bit of a flashback, the website for the event is still up. It's 2008discgolfworlds.com. Cool. You can go kind of see the different, they were like 10 courses. Our page at the PDGA website is obviously not updated because it shows three rounds, but then the totals add up to be much more than three rounds. I think this was back when they were playing like six or seven rounds for sure. Mm-hmm. But Sarah, I want you to guess for me who won 2008 Pro Worlds on both MPO and FPO side.
I peeked.
You cheated. But I didn't tell you that I was going to make you guess, so that's fine.
I know. But if you had... I'm just trying to think of the players that were big back when I started playing. And we talked about this before, how I like totally fangirled over Val Jenkins. So
oh, there you
she,
go.
She would probably be the first person that would come to mind if well, I had not peaked, but
that's
I did.
Fine. That was her second. That was her second world championship.
Yeah.
And on the men's side, I'm sure you were fangirling over Dave Fellberg winning his
yeah.
first and only, I guess, pro world championship. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. Cool. I always like looking back and seeing like what worlds used to be like, and this seemed to be a pretty cool one. I'm not very familiar with Michigan, but kind of cool too, given that Fellberg, I don't know exactly what that guy's origin story is. I know, like, I don't think he was actually born. Was he born in Michigan? I know he was like up for the Michigan State Hall of Fame at one time. I know he spent a lot
know.
Of time there, but I'm not sure if he's actually born there.
Well, his home base was what, Portland for a while?
Well, that's the thing. He's bounced around. So he's gone Oregon. He's gone Arizona. Now he's in Georgia.
Okay. Yeah. Now
he's very nomadic.
He is.
But I guess that's what you do when you're playing pro disc golf. But pretty cool. I know generally like Michigan is at least one of his home bases. So pretty cool for him to win worlds there.
Yeah, sure.
Before we go, it's time for a new PDGA radio challenge. Our last one.
Did you give our winner his prize? Our
no,
one and only.
No, I'll get a hold of him. We're gonna try and make this one a little more accessible. This was Sarah's idea, so I'll let Sarah introduce it. How are we gonna make the people do this one, Sarah?
Okay. Well, if you're anything like me, you can't do a single thing in life with your non-dominant side of your body. So that's why I thought it would be funny if you filmed an entire hole or had a friend film a hole of you throwing the entire way, you know, driving, mid-range, putting with your non-dominant hand.
You make it sound like it's going to be that easy, like only three throws.
Oh, okay. It's probably going to be more like five or six for me. Maybe
this
like
one,
11
this one
to
might
15
get ugly.
Throws. Yeah. It'll be fun, though.
I think
so,
it's
going to
be fun. Now, here's my question. I'm weird in that I normally do everything right-handed, but I disc golf left-handed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think it's from
weird.
I think it's from playing baseball, and like as a right-handed batter, it's the same stance as a left-handed throw. And so it just always felt more comfortable to me when throwing a frisbee like that.
Huh.
So can I throw right-handed forehands? Am I allowed to do that? Because I can do that a little bit.
Just do whatever your worst combination will
okay,
be.
Okay, so it's going to be right hand backhand for sure. Go. I mean, left hand backhand is going to be pretty bad as it is, but technically, since it's not my dominant hand. Yeah, this one's going to be entertaining. Hashtag PDJ Radio Challenge over at Instagram. We want to see people have some fun with this one. I agree, Sarah. I think this one is a lot more accessible. And, you know, you got to go out there and make fun of yourself a little bit sometimes. Don't take yourself too seriously on the disc golf course. You know, you got to have some fun, right?
Exactly.
So, all right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this week, Sarah. I guess we'll be back next week. Now, we'll keep people posted on our schedule for next week because we're both kind of traveling. I get to go on vacation this weekend. I'm super pumped.
Nice.
You're going to be traveling for work.
Yeah.
Bummer about that. But we'll keep everyone posted on what's going on with the show next week. We will have a show. It just, you know, might be slightly different. But until then, Sarah, you got anything else? Are we good?
That is it for me.
All right, cool.
Nope.
Well, hey, enjoy Ledgestone, everyone. Sarah, thank you for sharing all of your experiences at Music City. I think people will be excited to check out Nashville a little bit more now. I'm kind of pumped about Nashville disc golf. So
yeah,
good stuff. All right, so as always, you can leave us some feedback at radio@pdga.com. Subscribe on your favorite podcasting app, and we'll talk to you soon. That was Sarah Lamerson. I'm Steve Hill. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.